guys, welcome to another episode of Behind the Red. I'm your host, Tim Gaines, and in front of me, our guest today, we have Adam, Chef Adam, to be exact.
What's up, Tim? Thank you very much for having me, man. It's an honor to be here.
No problem. Appreciate you for being on the show, man. Like I said, I know you got a busy schedule. You're always doing stuff, so thank you for taking the time out to say what's on your mind and just be a guest on the show.
For sure. I'm excited.
Most definitely. So let's just jump right into it. Where are you from?
I was born down here in South Florida. I was raised in Colorado, and then I came back to Florida before high school. Okay. I went to college here. So
okay, dope.
A little split between Fort Lauderdale and Denver.
Got you. Those two pretty lit places, so I'm sure you have fun wherever you're at. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, really? I was lucky to grow up in some pretty relevant spots. Help me get a good understanding of what's going on in the world and what's possible.
Yeah, most definitely. So like, I guess like growing up in those two like pretty big cities, did that have like an influence on like wanting to be a chef at all?
Not really. I always loved food. Family loves food. When I was little, I liked to cook, and I never thought that I'd be a professional chef. I've always been businessy. Yeah. I used to say that I wanted to start a restaurant. My dad always persuaded me to not do that. Too hard of a lifestyle, but found my way back to food and just been rolling with it. So,
most done.
Yeah.
When'd you start taking, I guess, culinary seriously?
So when I moved, when I came home from college, when I moved back to Florida or to Fort Lauderdale, it was in the middle of the pandemic. Pandemic had just started. I was spending a ton of money on food delivery, so I just wanted to cut back, and I taught myself how to cook all the food that I like to eat, sushi and dumplings. And then I started this Instagram, and it just kind of unfolded, from there. So July 2020 is when I really started leaning into cooking.
Wow. Word. You make hella good progress, man. Are you serious? Really? Only 2 years.
I have a tendency to just go balls to the wall whenever I find something that, you know, I want to get good at.
Yeah.
And I just make it over and over and over and over. And honestly, I'm kind of sick of a lot of my food nowadays because I just made it so many times to keep practicing.
Yeah.
But it makes me want to make new foods. So it's good.
Almost done. But, so yeah. I guess from like starting there, like just making your own dumplings and sushi and stuff to being like a celebrity chef, like what happened between that and like now? Like that's a pretty big jump, you know what I mean?
For sure. Crazy journey. I got pretty lucky. Being in Miami helped. The market down here is crazy. I got tapped in with a yacht charter broker about when I had like 150 followers on Instagram. My friends met this girl who brokered yacht charters, and she needed a sushi chef. So my friends just like slammed their DMs with with my Instagram. She reached out. It happened to be for Jordan Poyer, the safety for the Buffalo Bills.
Uh-huh.
And so I ended up crushing that booking. Jordan is like now like my number one client. And Rachel, his wife, is like got like 3 million Instagram followers. She posted my food, and my page went from like 150 followers to like 500 that night.
Damn.
And then like within a couple months, I got Ben Simmons, I got Dave Portnoy, I got Masvidal, and I got like Trubisky, or Poyer introduced me to Trubisky. So the celebrity just kind of started rolling in from there. And this was all like within the first 6 months. So I kind of got a little bit lucky, but I just, I maximize the opportunity, and I keep them coming back because, the food's pretty good, and we do a good job.
It's all in the networking, man, for sure.
For sure. For sure. And going to high school and college down here, I knew a lot of people that helped me. Like I said, tap into that yacht charter broker, tap into the people who got me in with Portnoy. So,
Your very first gig was David Boyer, you said?
Jordan Poyer.
Jordan Poyer, yeah.
He wasn't my first gig. He was my first like celebrity gig.
Got you.
First gig on a yacht. So it was a very, kind of pivotal booking.
Yeah. How was that? Were you working with other chefs, or was it like just you?
So I brought my one of my best friends, Jordan, on, who honestly has taught me a lot about cooking. He's been cooking longer than I have. I brought him with me, and it was kind of a disaster. The yacht, I'd never cooked on a yacht before. The stove didn't really quite work, so we couldn't get water boiling to steam the dumplings. So I was, like, freaking out. The dumpling skins were, like, not you know, where they need it to be. It's kind of like cooking pasta, you know, it needs to be the right kind of consistency. But anyways, we served them, and Rachel, like my friend Jordan went out to serve him and came back. He's like, yeah, Rachel's just eating the skins, which is like the part I was most worried about. I thought it went terribly. I was super stressed because I'm a bit of a perfectionist, but it ended up, you know, they love the food. Yeah. And I work with them a lot still, so I guess it was all right. But according to my, you know, to the stat, to the level that we're trying to perform at and execute at, it was a freaking disaster, man.
And it was the first big gig, but obviously it still worked out. You know what I mean? Like, clearly you're so good that even when you're doing it wrong, it's still great.
I appreciate that. Yeah, man. You know, it's like that saying, it's cheesy, but you shoot for the, what is it? You shoot for the moon, you land among the stars.
Yeah.
As long as you're shooting for that top notch, you know, if it falls short, you're still getting pretty up there, hopefully. So
exactly. And speaking of shooting for like top notches, like you recently were chefing for the 2022 NBA draft class, correct?
Yes. Not the whole class, but about like 15 guys who were entering the draft. Awesome experience.
How was that meal prepping for these ginormous dudes? You know what I mean? I'm sure their diets and their nutrition plans are ridiculous. Probably like 100 grams of protein like per meal. You know what I mean? Like, what is that like? You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I have never seen so much food get purchased, cooked, and eaten so quickly. Word. When I first started working with the nutritionist, she was telling me the macros, and these numbers are just insane. Hundreds and hundreds of carbs and proteins and fats. And you know, most of these guys are 6 foot. I would say the average is probably like 6'7", 6'8", but we had guys who were multiple guys above 7 feet, you know, down to like 6 feet tall. But these guys were working out 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
The agency that I was working with described this as the most intense 2 months of these guys' lives. Cause,
yeah.
You know, they're coming out of college, they're training for the NBA. It was intense. It was a lot of food, hard work. It was 6 days a week from pretty much, sun up to sundown, you know, through dinner.
Were you located in Florida for this, or did you like get flown out to somewhere?
Yeah. So the camp was actually 35 minutes away from where I live.
Oh, so perfect Gables. Timing. So, dude. Like, wow, you're in a great spot for this.
Bro, I'm telling you, Miami is a great market for what I do. Little did I know when I was first starting, you know.
Most of that.
A lot going on down here.
Yeah. So I feel like you have like a personal connection with sports and like in food and stuff. Are you like a big sports fan, obviously, I assume?
Growing up, I played, you know, all the sports from hockey, soccer, baseball, basketball, football. I really liked football. That was my main sport.
Gotcha.
Still love football. So when I got connected with Poyer and you know, I've gotten to do some cool things. Like when the Bills came down to play the Dolphins, Poyer brought like half the team over to his house the night before. I cooked for them all.
Yeah.
And they went out and kicked the Dolphins' ass the next day. You know, Poyer got us tickets to the game. So it was just like those experiences like that. You know, Trubisky's brought like, he had a bunch of the guys down in South Florida. I cooked for them when they were here. I love football. So just the fact that my food and my cooking has gotten me to the ability to meet and hang out with these people and now become friends, you know, like chatting on social, you know, just I feel like I'm friends with a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
It's all still so new and still so crazy to me. But yeah, the fact that the cooking has allowed me to tap into the NFL, which is like little kid me would be, you know, freaking out. I'm still freaking out.
Yeah,
I think it's awesome.
It's like, honestly, I mean, you're also like pretty much a star yourself. You know what I mean? Like, not too many people can do what you do, especially at the level and the rate that you're doing it at. You know what I mean? Like, this is serious shit you're onto, man. Like, respect for sure.
I appreciate it. I'm just working hard, trying to surround myself with smart people to make us better and make the most out of every opportunity we get.
And it's only the beginning. And one thing I will say is, I feel like over the pandemic, like some businesses like. There was like a giant need and demand for like the market, and I feel like maybe like personal chefs or private chefs, that was one of the markets, since like I guess like people weren't really like going to restaurants and eating out, sitting down type stuff. So do you feel like you came in at the right time to capitalize on that, or was COVID also like a time for you to sit down and figure out a new craft, which just so happened to be like culinary?
Two great points. They're both right. So I had extra free time because I was working remote. I was working a full-time job when I started leaning into cooking. Mm-hmm. And I would take care of all my work. Always kind of been like a high performer, so I'd take care of all my work working remote. You know that like if you get your work done, you kind of have your hours to do what you need to do.
Exactly.
So I would just start cooking. So the extra time working remote helped me do that. And then the first part of your question was COVID, an impetus for this. Yes. One of my very first bookings, my best friend Michael, he's like a socialite, wanted to have a million friends over for his birthday, but no restaurant in Miami would take a reservation more than 6 people. So he asked me, I had started my Instagram literally like 3 weeks ago. He'd come over, I'd cook him some sushi sometimes. So he had tried the food. He knew that I was, making good food. He asked me to cook for like 20 people at his crib for his birthday before everyone went out. And I did it. I came with, one of my good friends, G. And we crushed it. We got so much, business and hype from that booking alone because so many people were there, especially in my social network. Like this was my best friend's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up, crushing the food. My friend was kind of pissed because no one wanted to go out afterwards because they were all so full. The fact that he couldn't get a reservation at a restaurant because they wouldn't take a party bigger than 6, I ended up doing it. And that kind of was a huge explosion for the business.
Yeah.
That was our second booking that I did.
Really? Second? Damn. Okay. Got you. So I guess going from like COVID till now, do you feel like the marketplace has changed at all? For like, I guess, like, do you notice any differences in like business, would you say?
Differences? No, I think Florida is just still expanding pretty rapidly. I think if anything, the economy might be slowing down a bit, but it's kind of hard to tell. Yeah. Summer has been the slower season in Florida, so I've noticed we really get busy. It's kind of like November through June.
It's the vacation spot. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people come down to South Florida. Summer is kind of like sporadic and into the fall. But once we get to like that holiday season again, that's when it starts to pick up. So it's kind of hard to tell. I've been pretty busy. We got a lot going on, but as far as the changes from COVID to now, no, I haven't really felt anything, but we'll see as we kind of continue to exit out of the COVID stage.
Got you. Okay. And would you say that, like, I guess, like, knowing how to cook with females is like a turn on for girls? Or like, oh, damn, this man can like actually chef up? Like, hold up.
Yeah.
Is that the go-to? You're like, I'm a chef.
Yeah, bro, being able to make some dumplings or some sushi is definitely
word.
Take
tips, guys. Take tips. You know what I'm saying? Listen. You don't always gotta let the female cook. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can take charge, click the pan yourself.
Oh, for sure.
Word.
For sure. Especially when it's crazy food like that. Part of what I've decided, like, obviously I like to make a lot of the foods, like mm-hmm. the sushi and the dumplings, but I started to realize sushi and dumplings are some of the most popular foods in America.
Really?
So it's pizza and fried chicken. So we started to make pizza as well as some fried chicken dishes, just trying to build on what people already like, and right. and master those dishes.
Gotcha. And, like, do you make your own recipes, I'm assuming, obviously? Or
for sure.
Gotcha.
For sure. And I have chefs, under me who have a lot more experience than me at this point. They've been chefs for a long time, and they help me kind of curate the way we do things.
Got you. What's your signature, like, go-to dish? You're like, this is a guaranteed, like, home run, ball out of the park type deal.
So it's our sushi nachos.
What?
It's definitely my most unique dish, and pretty much every booking we do, sushi nachos are ordered. Very few where they're not, and it's the first taste for the course or for the night. We kind of set the tone.
Yeah.
With that dish, it's a fried gyoza skin with avocado, and the traditional way we do it is with tuna tartare, scallion, cilantro, masago, eel sauce, spicy mayo, some sesame seeds, and it's just like it's like a chip, and they're each individually built.
It's mad unique. And then I'm sure the presentation is just like none other, what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. It's got that Instagram ability to it.
What's
which
that?
Is super important for, a social media based business. People want to take a picture of it and post it, and we get some tags and new eyeballs. So.
Of course. And one thing I will say is what I've noticed, I guess, more, because I'm pretty big into art, is that food is actually an art. You know, it's called culinary arts, but like, I guess like the more saying like you put your personal like twist on it, you know what I mean? Like this dish is technically like you in a way, you know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. like an artist's painting is like them, you know what I mean? Like elaborate a little bit on that. How do you think that like food and art correlate?
I think it's definitely an art, and it's more than just the way it looks. It's the way it's prepared. Mm. For instance, just like, you know, I think just like artists have philosophies on the way that they go about things and the way they approach. Something that's really important to me is the structural integrity of food. And what I mean by structural integrity is, you know, the integrity is like the credibility of something, like how well it's built. Like the integrity of a bridge is about like how, you know, can it stand
yeah.
and can it function and do what it needs to do. So the structural integrity of food is how it's assembled, how it's built, to not only one function the way it's supposed to function, but to not fall apart when you're eating it, to be a pleasant experience, and to also deliver all of the tastes at the right time and moment, you know, when you bite into it. So like the structural integrity of food is part of my art and my craft. Yeah, and there's little elements too, like we make everything fresh on site. We don't do prep work before we get there. Like when I cut into a vegetable, I want it to be the last possible second before you eat it.
Yeah.
You know, unless there's something that we need to, you know, marinade, obviously. But when it comes to spices and food in general, breading, frying, cooking, everything, slicing even the fish for the sushi, we do that on site just to keep everything as fresh as possible. We fold the dumplings on site.
Really? That's insane. So it's like, damn, that's okay. I understand. It's
really, that's just part of, that's part of the art, you know, that's part of each person's approach to food will have their own philosophy, but that's what makes it such an art is that, you know, comes from the very essence of, you know, why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It comes from, you know, from a perspective of craftsmanship.
Got you. Got you. So, like what's your, I would say, what's your biggest inspiration for like culinary or cooking? And do I call it cooking, culinary? I know there's like a technical term to it. You know what I mean? I
don't want
to.
Dude, honestly, I taught myself how to cook on YouTube and I'm calling myself a chef, and you know, a lot of celebrities book me and you know, I'm a chef now. So it's, you know, I'm not the traditional formal guy. Word. I wouldn't tell you, you got to call it culinary. You got to call me chef. It's not like that. I happen to be a cook. I happen to be pretty good at it. And I, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have met some cool people and people want to see what we're doing now.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'm not like some formal buttoned up chef. And I'm not the guy to ask how you call something in the culinary world. Because I'm truly no expert.
You
just call it cooking, culinary arts, whatever you feel more comfortable with.
Okay.
Kind of like that meme, like the more sophisticated brand is calling it culinary arts, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. So what's someone you would want to cook for that you haven't cooked for yet? Who's on your list? You know what I mean? Who's like
your I want to cook for like honestly like J. Cole or Drake or Kendrick. Like those are like, I mean, J. Cole is like my biggest inspiration in everything. So just from an artist perspective.
Mm-hmm. Real laid back dude.
So if I got to cook for J. Cole, that would just be like,
would be dope.
Also Drake. Drake is just such a, you know, such a legend.
Yeah, and his house is it's not even a house. It's like an estate. Like I don't even know what that shit is called. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and I'm sure Drake's probably got like a
six kitchens.
Chef who's just badass.
Yeah.
that's never gonna be me. I'm not trying to work full time. I mean, if J. Cole wants to hire me full time, like hit me up, bro. But
I was gonna ask, would you ever work for someone full time? Like, cause I know like some people are like you chef on your own and like book deals when you want. And then some people are like a specific person's like designated chef.
Yeah, no, I see the perks to being a full time chef, but it's just not for me. It's kind of why like I started a company when I was in college, and then I got rid of it, and I worked full time jobs, and I hated it, and that's why I was like just cooking to take my mind off of my job. And then as soon as I started another business that worked, I was going to go all in, and I'm not going back to working full time. So it would be redundant for me at this point to take what I've built and transfer it into a full time job again. You know, I like freedom. I like being able to do like truly, you know, cooking is definitely a passion, but it's also a vehicle to support my lifestyle. And
most definitely.
I like freedom. I like to do other things besides just work.
Yeah.
I like to rap.
I was gonna say, yeah, I'm about to dive into that next. Yeah, I saw the clip on IG. Tell me a little bit more about that. You know what I'm saying,
bro? It's one of those things. Like, if you could do anything in the world, what would you do? I would be a rapper.
I feel you.
I love rap music. And I think it would just be the dopest thing in the world to be on the stage with 100,000 people rapping my lyrics back at me. Like, just, and being able to like touch that many people, because I know what music's done for me. So that would just be the coolest thing, to be able to spread my message through music. So yeah, when I was 17, I met this kid at Florida State. I just got in there and he showed me like his SoundCloud, and he was freestyling in the car. And my mind was fucking blown. I had never met anyone who could just like rap like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, shortly after, I started making music because I had a bunch of free time my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bad. I would literally record it on my Beats inline mic in my dorm
room.
Oh,
yeah,
edit it on GarageBand and post it up on SoundCloud. Don't go looking for them.
I'm going to go looking for it after this. I'm going to go looking for it.
they're no good. But you know, these past year, year and a half, ever since I was able to kind of gain some stability with you know, my own business again, I'm, you know, doing Chef Adam. I started writing again because I have more free time, and you know, I'm able to get back to doing what I really want to be doing. Although, you know, I love cooking, don't get me wrong.
What's that?
There's just, you know, there's bigger dreams, and
yeah,
there's tomorrow's dream that you got to chase, as well as building for today and the near future. You got to, you know, I like to keep that long term, like where I'm really trying to go,
yeah,
in mind. So I've been writing.
Okay.
And I'm going to be putting out some work in the near future for sure.
I was going to say, like, I know what you have like a crazy networking pool though. So it's like, honestly, you're like, it's not too hard to get tapped into the right people because you're damn near already in that lane, you know? You already have a name for yourself. You know what I mean? It's just about making like the transition and like coming across like the professional approach. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe not for sure. I tend to think that you're right. Like, I'd like to think that you're right. I'm definitely going to, that's going to be the route that I go. I'm going to try to tap into the people that I've met and leverage, you know, the momentum that I have. But for me right now, my only goal is I'm trying to put together an EP. I'm trying to put together a mixtape of some sort so that I can document, this is what I do, this is what I can do. Mm-hmm. And so that I have something to show people when I do make that approach.
Gotcha.
But I'm taking my time with it. I'm not in a rush. I know that every day I work at it, I'm just getting better. So I'm not trying to push out what I'm doing now, because it's just getting better and better.
What kind of sounds are you working on? You know what I mean? Because I feel like rap has like a million subgenres at this point. You know what I mean? You got the hyper pop, you got the conscious rap, you got the Cardi, you got the Aminé, you got it's a million different lanes you can go into rap. You know what I'm saying? So what kind are you feeling?
So I don't know about a specific label that you could throw on it. I rap my style.
Yeah.
I'm big into lyrics and pronunciation. I'm not like a mumble rapper.
Word.
I'm big into the message, and yeah, dude, honestly, like, J. Cole is my inspiration. I love Kendrick. I like Mac. So I guess I try to draw from all of them. I've been writing this one piece that I've just been listening to, this J. Cole freestyle, the one that he did on LA Leakers, just over and over and over and over again. The one he did, the 93 Till Infinity, and then Still Tipping.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah,
the cleanest yeah. one. You know
Still
what I'm talking
Tipping
about.
One was fire, yo.
Bro. Yes. I'm literally writing to the Still Tipping beat. Like, yeah. Today, I probably spent 4 hours writing just because I was feeling this shit. But
yeah.
Yeah, bro. So yeah, that's just a passion project, you know?
Nah, I feel you.
I'm gonna be putting something out soon. Maybe one day you'll have me on here and we'll be talking about that mixtape that just fucking popped
up. If you need music videos, you know what I'm saying? Like, we shoot those too also, you know what I mean?
Oh, really?
No,
all right.
Yeah, for sure.
Wait, you guys where are you guys based?
Originally, we're based in like Cleveland, Ohio, but I actually just moved to Dallas, Texas, which is why like we're virtual right now, because we're still like figuring out the whole location thing. You know what I'm saying? Because before we actually had a podcast studio in Cleveland, but like since I moved, we pretty much shut it down and just are doing virtual.
Okay, yeah, I remember I saw some of that.
Yeah.
That studio, but yeah, you know, that's the world we live in. I'm sure you guys will figure it out.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
But yeah, I mean, if I'm ever out in Dallas or Cleveland for a music video,
yeah,
I'll keep you in mind.
Or forever out of Miami, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, for
what's
sure.
What's that? So, what's some advice you have to, I guess, other chefs? Because, like, I know a lot of chefs, and like I'm telling you, these, mm-hmm. like, some people just, I guess, like, networking is a real thing, and I feel like some people just may not know how to network the right way. You know what I'm saying? So what's some advice you have to like someone who's been chefing for a little while and like they're trying to figure out how to like get more clients, like more big clients? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I would say a couple things. One, be unique. You got to be different. You can make bomb ass food. Like there's chefs who make better food than me, but you know, it's about being different and being able to differentiate yourself and market yourself and really stand out. So be creative. As far as networking, you gotta understand your market. You gotta see where the money's going. If you want to get in with the money, you gotta see where the money's going and how you can position yourself. I positioned myself with Wagyu steaks and sushi and dumplings and yachts. And I did a lot of content. Like I invested in content around the stuff that we were doing. I paid people extra to come and take videos and photos to capture that so that I could market it, knowing that people would want to see that. And then you get more exposure. And then, you know, nowadays I've, you know, people following me, like, you know, that I could have never imagined would be following me, wanting to hire me, just because, you know, I was different and we made this content and we were creative with it. So I don't know. It's hard. Know your market, be creative. If you want to be in with the money, you got to follow the money and position yourself within the market. You don't have to reinvent anything.
Yeah. Would you feel like you need a team? Like, do you have a team or is it just like solo you? You know what I mean?
For running the business, it's just me, but when I go, I have freelancers that I keep on deck and they're trained to my process. They wear my polo and my hat when we go.
Oh, you got your own hat and the polo too? Oh, shit.
Yeah, bro. I got my own hat. My first business was custom apparel.
Oh, back shit. So there it is.
So I got that on lock.
Most dead.
So we got hats and polos and, you know, that's part of it too. You know, that's something that just goes beyond being a chef. It's all about user experience in any business.
Most
you have to consider the consumer, how they're going to feel about every little detail. Yeah. And just master those things.
Yeah, how you package yourself like professionally, you know what I'm saying? Because one thing I will say is like we do music videos, right? And like our very first like gig we ever went to, it was like a concert. And we had like on these pull up t-shirts, like it's like says pull up visuals on them and all three of us wore it. And like everyone's like walking around asking us like for a card, booking and stuff, mainly because we're just three dudes with a t-shirt on with cameras. And it's just like
we walking billboards. Official.
Yeah. Yep. No, literally walking up with them there. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, be given like if you can afford to give hats and t-shirts out to people to if they'll rock them because like those are just, you know,
free promo
branding. In people's brains, they're seeing it over and over. They're walking billboards.
No, for real. But what'd you go to school for? You said you went to Florida State, right?
I went to Florida State. I studied commercial entrepreneurship.
Okay, and well, look at where you're at. You know what I'm saying? Clearly, it all paid off.
I knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Most definitely.
And they actually started the major program. Was it the fact that they started the major program? I think commercial entrepreneurship. We were the first graduating class. So I got kind of lucky and studied that. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask about the one thing, the barstool owner. I forget his name and I know I'm supposed to remember it. What's his name?
Dave Portnoy.
Yeah. Tell us about working with him. He's super big dude though. Like people don't understand how important he is right now in the media space, man. Like Call Me Daddy. He's like founded them.
Bro, he's like, big time.
He's big time.
I've been following Dave and Barstool Sports since 2015, maybe before.
I've been a
huge fan. Huge fan. When I saw Dave Portnoy walk into the backyard when we were prepping dinner, I was just like, bro, what is going on? Because he was like, I hadn't met that many celebrities yet. I was still like pinching myself every person I met.
Yeah.
Super early on when I met him. But yeah, seeing him walk into the backyard and then he like came right by the bar was right next to me. Mm-hmm. He came to the bar and he looked over and I'm like, what's up, Dave? He's like, what's up, man? it's just like, it was crazy. But he's got the same personality in real life that he does behind or in front of the camera.
He seems pretty cool. I'm going to ask. Yeah, how is he? He seems pretty cool.
He's definitely got lots of confidence. Nice guy. Just, you know, the same that you see on social media. He seems to be that same way in real life.
Well, that's dope, though. So I guess, like, going forward, I don't know if you want to disclose this or not, but far as like how to like pricing wise, like how to reach out to you, you know what I'm saying? Like what are you, what's your base prices start at? Or is that more of a like DM me and find out?
Yeah, I mean, people can reach out. It's typically like private bookings start around $1,500, and they're usually around like, you know, $150 to $250 per person, depending on like the menu that's ordered.
Does that include paying for the food too, or?
Yeah, so that would be, I do all in, includes taxes and booking fee. The only thing that's not included is gratuity for my team, but everything's within that price. You know, we bring plates and cutlery and all the cooking equipment and everything. So wherever you may be across the country, we do remote. You know, we've flown to places to cook for people.
Yeah.
But we do most of our stuff down here in Broward County, Dade County, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach.
Okay, gotcha.
And yeah, just show up and throw the fuck down in the kitchen and serve up some bomb food.
And I feel that. And I meant to ask, so is Wagyu beef really all that hyped up it is to be? You know what I mean? Because that's the one thing I haven't tried. And I'm like, I thought about ordering a steak, but I'm like, I know I'm going to prepare it wrong first off because I'm not a chef. So I'm going to just waste my money not cooking a steak it's supposed to. So in your opinion, is like a good T-bone just as good as a Wagyu steak or not?
Absolutely not. So I think, you know, Wagyu is definitely amazing. It depends. It's one of those things also like where it's so rare. It's so much rare and it's harder to get Wagyu that it becomes, you know, like enough, like it's a specialty kind of like, bluefin tuna or even something like lobster where it's a little harder to get. So oysters, it requires a little bit more work so that it becomes like this delicacy. That being said, Wagyu is amazing. If you like steak, it's the best steak. I personally don't prefer A5. I think it's like eating a block of fat. Mm-hmm. But my favorite steak would be an A5 filet mignon. What's good about that is that a filet mignon usually has no fat in it.
Really?
But Wagyu is so marvelous. Yeah, filet mignon is super lean. You got to add butter to it to like, you know, give it that fat. If you want it to be, you know, juicy and tender, which you do. But a Wagyu, like an A5 Wagyu filet, is just marbled with fat. So you get all of that amazing tenderness of the filet mignon, but you also get the fat marbled within, and it's just that's the best steak in the world, in my opinion.
How do they get the marble? Don't they feed the cow something? Isn't it like beer? Is that true? They feed the cow beer or
beer? I don't know. I haven't heard that one. I know that there's different types. Some cows just get fed olives. That's like olive-fed Wagyu. In Japan, though. I can't tell you exactly what they do. I've read into it. I just read ridiculous stuff, so I never really get too far. But yeah. I've heard that they massage these cows, and these cows get like super luxurious treatment, and you know they live super plush, luxurious lives. So they get them all fatty. I'm not 100% sure. I don't take my word for it. It's probably not too hard to figure out. But they do some different shit to it. And
imagine getting pampered your whole life just to be slaughtered. You're like, huh? No,
I'm kidding. Well, hey, we're, you know, I'd rather that than, I guess, get tortured my whole life and then get slaughtered.
Right? At least it was a good journey on the way there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to live a nice whole life. It could be worse.
I feel you. I guess closing out, what are like some goals you have for the rest of this year? I mean, it's only the half of the year now. You still got another 5-6 months left. So what's something you got planned or something you're working on, you know?
For sure. So I've been sometimes, you know, booked every day for months straight since I started this business. So I don't even have a website. I'm building my website right now. I do no paid marketing whatsoever. And I come from an SEO, Facebook ad, Google ad background. You know, I ran marketing for a company before I started Chef Adam. So like I'm a good marketer and we're doing pretty much no marketing because I've been booked up. So what I'm doing now is building that full digital attack. We're going to be running Google ads, social media ads. I'm going to start doing some paid, paid media, as well as setting up our website and getting SEO running and email marketing. So I'm going to be listed on Airbnb Experiences for Miami.
Oh, wow, that is smart. That is so smart, bro. Wow.
For sure. I'm partnering up with yachts to offer like joint experiences where like, charter a yacht, don't tell anyone. I'm sure people are going to find that on this podcast, but there's some voids in the Airbnb experiences market. If I, that's another way as a private chef, you can tap into that. Look at Airbnb experiences, find something that's not being offered and do that and market the shit out of it. Because that's a captive audience. People are coming to your city. They need stuff to do. Mm. Make it exciting. Tell your friends to go book it. Airbnb takes 20%. Just pay them back and eat that 20% so that you can get 5-star reviews and just build up that business on Airbnb experiences. That's another little idea. But I'm going full digital and going to be going ham on the internet this next 6 months and setting up a nice web on the web.
Do you plan on getting into TikTok at all? Because I know, like, I feel like, are you already on TikTok?
I am. TikTok's great. I see the benefits. Honestly, and Instagram's reels especially are kind of turning into TikTok, which I don't like. The revenue, like the activity does not attribute to revenue in my kind of business because TikTok gives you gives you views from people all over the place. Where Instagram is a little bit more targeted to your followers and they're the ones who are engaging with your content. And they kind of opt into it versus TikTok, which seems a little bit less. I don't know. The revenue attribution seems a little bit disconnected for me with TikTok. I've also not gotten much traction on there, posting the same content that I do to Instagram Reels that I post to my TikTok. So I've just kind of ignored TikTok. And I have this inner hatred for it. I don't know why.
I'm with you on that, dog. It's like, I feel like it's something that's forced upon us. You know what I mean? It's like we're not old, but we're almost a little late to the TikTok game to where it's just like I feel like if you're over like 23, you're kind of not really fucking with it like that versus like all these like 21, 18, 19. Yeah, they love it. You know what I mean? But it's just like, it's not it. Like there's no real like.
I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm not trying to be a hater, but bro, I don't fuck with TikTok.
And it's like you could have a 500,000 followers and still not be shit. That's when I was like, okay.
Bro, that's another thing. I talked to so many young entrepreneurs from the Jim Moran College, which is the Florida State Entrepreneurship School. There's a lot of them. Bro, I have 80,000 followers on TikTok. I'm trying to sell this. I'm trying to sell that. No one's buying. And I'm like, bro, it's because your followers are like, bro, they don't even know why they follow you.
No. Like, yes.
They saw a video. They followed you. And like, you expect them to buy shit from you, bro? Like they're not even seeing what you're posting.
Exactly. It's like it's not personal enough, and I almost feel like TikTok is just full of people faking it, anyways. You know what I mean?
I feel like TikTok is like an entertainment factory that's just got these algorithms that push content to people that they think want to see it, and there's absolutely no attribution to real life revenue or metrics.
It gives you like a false sense of security. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hate that Instagram's starting to feel like that with the reels. I'm like some of my reels. And it might be the hashtags. Maybe my hashtags are really starting to click, but I just get blown up with likes from these people from all over the world. They almost look like they're from fake accounts. They're obviously real.
Yeah.
Like, I check them out. But, like, I just, like, likes just pour in, and I'm like, bro, who the fuck are these people? Like, why are you – like, cool. Like, I'll take the likes, but, like, can you show this to my followers?
Yeah. Like, is it going to convert to anything? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's almost like, yeah, I know what you mean. But I guess this is just the future of social media. You know what I'm saying? We'll see. We just gotta know how to adjust to the curve, you know.
For sure. I feel like I just sound like a boomer.
Nah, that's how I feel. I'm like, damn, are we getting old? You know what I mean? Like, shit, you know.
I don't know what it is, but it's just I like doing things that are tied. Like, I don't know, just it messes with my why on what I'm doing on social media. If it's just starting to show it to a bunch of random people.
Yeah,
but I get the benefits of that too, so it is what it is.
What's that? Well, you know, I don't want to take too much of your time, you know, so I appreciate you for coming on the show. You know what I mean? Any last words for the audience?
No, appreciate you having me on, bro. Pleasure to talk with you and just share a little bit of my story. So thank you.
No problem. And also, let's definitely got to drop your Instagram at. You know what I mean? Spell that out for him, Chef Adam Sirota, right?
For sure. Yes, at Chef Adam Sirota, Serota. You'll see it. It's got black circle, you know, white letters, Chef Adam Sirota, the white knife.
Yes, sir.
On a black background, yep. Chef Adam Sirota, Serota.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go check us out. We got a lot. We got a lot of cool stuff going on.
Most definitely. I plan on having you at my wedding one day if I, once the right girl starts acting right, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Down the road. Down the road.
Down the road. Down the road. We got plans right now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But yeah, you let me know. I'll be there.
Thank you for being on the show, man. A blessing. Appreciate you so much.
Yeah. No, thank you. Appreciate you. And pleasure meeting you, my man.
Most definitely. I'll catch you later.